If you ask most people what their most precious asset is, they'll answer their home, investments, and they'll be dead wrong. It's their time, and a diminishing asset it is. Time is the only resource that is absolutely unsustainable, not renewable. It cannot be captured or stopped. Unlike oil or gold or gems, you can't buy more of it for any price. Imagine if you could see your time, encased in packing crates, clearly marked with a thick Sharpie, and the crates would hold exactly the amount of time you've spent doing one thing or another. Cardboard containers marked school, work, sleep, sick, hungover, partying, friends, children, spouse, traffic, television, porn, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Call of Duty, Minecraft. How would those boxes compare? What would be their proportions? Would they make you proud or fill you with regret? Whichever the case, the dimensions and volume of those boxes are determined by us and no one else. Or are they? There's one box I failed to mention. It's pretty large. It is marked stolen time. Time taken from us without our consent, taken by corporations, institutions, government, and people we should jettison from our lives. Human parasites. Stay with me. This will be time well spent.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 In March of 2017, I recorded an episode entitled Larry Flames the Time Bandits. It was a tour de force of all the entities that steal your most valuable asset. Just a few years ago, in an attempt to calm consumer rage, this music, or whatever you'd call this auditory shit, was what you would hear while some corporation was wasting your time. Now, they hold you in such low regard, they so deeply disrespect you, actually revile you, that they use telephone hold time to preach their woke gospel.
We strive to provide an inclusive environment where all people are treated with respect and courtesy. We value and honor the diverse backgrounds of our associates and our customers, and appreciate your help in upholding these standards. Note that a transaction request is not complete until it...
Meanwhile, their incompetence, their mistakes, their fuck-ups waste your time. Isn't your time valuable? Shouldn't you be compensated when they steal it? Attorneys charge by the hour, so do many other professions. There should be some way to retaliate against those who waste our time. For years, I had an American Express card for Delta Airlines. When I first got it, I was flying all the time, so I used it a lot. Over the years, my need for it diminished, and some time ago, I had a small charge on it, just a few bucks. I paid that bill 9 hours late. Not 9 days, 9 hours. And American Express wanted a $27 late fee. When I refused to pay it, they canceled the card. Fine, fuck 'em. Now here's the good part. I never switched to full electronic billing, so every month I still get a bill in the mail from them which will never be paid. But it's costing them money to generate that bill on paper and pay the postage to send it. I hope they keep sending it forever. But that was hardly satisfying. There should be easy ways to fuck with companies and ding their bottom line, all while generating some fun. Pre-digital commerce, there were many such opportunities, and they were called business reply cards. They were everywhere. You'd find them bound or blown into magazines or at supermarket check stands. They were an endless source of giggles for my pals and me. Often they were for some book club or magazine subscription or candy, soaps, music, cassette tapes, and then CDs. You'd sign up, and they'd send you their shit on a subscription basis. These cards were postage paid, so to screw with the company and the victim of your choice cost you absolutely nothing. Imagine that. If that ain't a win-win, what is? The cards were always written in some over-the-top gushy style.
Yes, make me a member of the Classical Music CD Snob Club, only $23.99 per month. Yes, rush me my first month's shipment of Shostakovich.
Then you wrote your name and mailing address and checked a box for Visa or MasterCard and filled in the line where you could write your card number for all the world to see. Below those lines was the box we always checked, the one we could not believe existed but did, the one that made all this fuckery possible for us and a major hemorrhoid for our targets, the box to check beside the line that said, "Bill me later." So my buddies and I would select some chooch that pissed us off, look up his address in the white pages, and fill out some business reply cards on his behalf. If somebody really drew our ire, we'd accumulate a bunch of business reply cards for Jelly of the Month Club, Candles You'll Love, subscriptions to Cat Fancy, and Combustion Monthly, and oh, the laughs we had filling out those cards and checking, "Bill me later." Soon they'd be rushed pallets of some shit they never wanted and had to endure the hassle of sending the crap back and dealing with dunning notices from the billing departments demanding payment for said crap. The only drawback was we never got to witness the fruits or misery of our labors, save for one time. We had a high school teacher who was a nasty prick, so we filled out a stack of "Bill Me Later" cards and gave the school as the mailing address. Every day we'd see boxes of crap arrive, and one day we got to see said teacher getting a ration of shit from the principal, who was gesturing at all the boxes with a very pissed off look on his face. And that nasty prick teacher stood there shrugging his shoulders helplessly. It was great. But back to time. Time may be the single most elastic word in our language. Someone from another land trying to grasp the near-infinite usages and idioms of time would just go nuts. If somebody achieves a great honor or milestone, they'll say, "This is your time." But if that same guy gets hit by a cement truck the next day, they'll say, "It was his time." Unless he's younger, then they'll say, "He went before his time." People tell us to be on time and then remind us if we're not by saying, "It's time." But we might answer, "I need more time," and hopefully they'll say, "You have time," or "Take your time," and not, "Time's up." A good comic is great timing. A shitty drummer or a broken clock can't keep time. We better be ready when it's game time. After the game, it's Miller time. Who's going to win next week's game? Time will tell. Why do we play games? To have a good time. Our culture is obsessed with time, huh? From Roman sundials to the atomic clock. Everyone needs to know exactly what time it is. Except those rabbits in Alice in Wonderland. They got a busted pocket watch, which is running exactly 2 days slow. Some places are like that. New York runs 2 days fast, and L.A. runs 2 days slow. And in Chicago, you need to run faster than the bullets. At the job, there's a time clock, which is redundant. If not a time clock, what the hell would it be, a space clock? Isn't that what Einstein postulated with his theory of relativity? So what do we crave? Time for ourselves, time in my own, a little extra time, an eighth day of the week, a 25th hour. If time isn't flying, it's dragging. You're either out of time or got time in your hands. The dumbest one of all is, "I'm killing time." Fuck no, Bubba. Time's killing you, and me, and everybody. Tomorrow is another day to be subtracted from the 25,000 days in an average lifespan. 25,000 isn't a lot of anything. Except maybe bitcoins. The very word time can somehow confer authority, right? Time magazine, the New York Times, the Chicago Sun-Times. But it's nearly their time, isn't it? Newspapers and magazines are already dead. They're just too stupid or arrogant to lie down. And when they all fold, which they will people say, it was time's time? Thanks to digital commerce, corporations have become impenetrable monoliths. I recently had such an experience with FedEx, a once great company that has gone to shit. I was returning some items that were delivered by FedEx from a vendor in Florida. The return instructions were simple enough. Remove any address labels from the boxes, seal them up, and take them to FedEx. They offered a choice, QR code or address labels. I've used QR code many times. Take a picture, let UPS scan it, boom, all done, super easy. So I opted for the QR code. Now the FedEx webpage gives nearby locations for drop-off, except it fails to mention that none of them was capable of processing a QR code. So I called FedEx. There were 14 different options on the phone interface, none of which addressed my issue. When I finally arrived at the one requesting a live person, the cyborg said, "That option was not available. Click silence." How fucked up is that? In my case, it was just some lighting for my house. Annoying, but hardly a life and death situation. Which it could be, when people are expecting a shipment of medicine, huh? It did say that all calls are recorded, so before being disconnected, I cursed out the cyborg and the CEO, even though I had no idea who he was. Turns out, it's somebody named Raj Subramaniam. Raj may be a dick, because in my experience with the corporate world, which is substantial, you could determine the demeanor of a CEO the moment you walked into the lobby. The attitude is truly set at the top, and it doesn't trickle down, it gushes. If a dick runs the operation, his dick mores, attitude, and policies permeate everything, and he'll probably hire other dicks until the entire company is a nest of dicks. Since its inception, FedEx was run by the founder, the guy who dreamed the entire business up and built it from a college term paper on which he was graded C to the multi-billion dollar enterprise that revolutionized the delivery industry. On his journey from nobody to billionaire entrepreneur, Fred Smith did two tours of duty as a Marine in Vietnam and won a Silver Star, Bronze Star, and two Purple Hearts. When Smith ran FedEx, you could always get someone on the phone. Always. Now that Subramaniam runs it, all you get is abuse from a cyborg. He built nothing, just collected a list of degrees. Oh, and he's also a Biden appointee to some bullshit government council. Once again, there are no mysteries. On the other hand, there is nothing on the FedEx landing page about DEI, as with so many other major companies, so maybe Raj isn't that kind of a dick. But there's a growing backlash against all the corporate wokeism. Have a listen to this.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Kinda cool, isn't it? It's bad enough that we trade the best years of our lives, our most vital and productive time, to corporations. Now they think they have a right to shove their politics down employees' throats. Oops, excuse me. As you heard in the early recording, they, that being Fidelity Investment Company, they refer to their employees as associates. What the fuck does that mean? That's almost as fake and stupid and insulting as Disney referring to their employees as cast members. Maybe that works for Snow White or the guy in the Mickey Mouse costume. But they also call the dudes mopping the toilets cast members. Do you recall seeing any janitors in Disney movies? If you did, what would their dialogue be? Hi-ho, hi-ho, my job it really blows. But back to the room, with all the boxes containing the time of your life. I've visualized that room many times. The biggest one in mine are for school, work, and sleep. The ones I wish were the biggest were time spent with my family, and fishing, and at the beach, and blasting through the desert with a top down, or traveling. And then in my room, there's this little box named Fuckery. I wish that was a lot bigger, too, because every Bill Me Later card represented another belly laugh. And the funniest shit, by far, is the hijinks and shenanigans we cooked up on our own, not derived from some movie or comedian. And the most intense, unbearable laughter is suppressed laughter. If you want some more on that, check out the Vengeance Is Ours trilogy. The first two installments are in bonus episode 3, only at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. You'll have to scroll down to the very earliest episodes. It'll cost you $5. But you get access to about 40 other bonus episodes and automatic enrollment in the Take No Shit Dojo. As often happens on this show, just when I'm ready to close the lid, something fresh pops up that just won't keep for another week. And that would be this clip of Dr. Drew and Megyn Kelly. Drew has been excommunicated by most of the medical community, who closed ranks and canceled him when he dared question the holy COVID vaccines. Megyn Kelly, a vax recipient, is now suffering from an autoimmune disease courtesy of her jab.
In my world, throughout my entire career, 40-year career, myocarditis is a medical emergency. It's a dire problem. A publication just came out 5 days ago in Circulation, a major cardiology journal. An excellent study, and it showed, it took my breath away. I didn't know why it wasn't headline news. It's a large study, and it showed that about approximately half of the young males that got myocarditis had permanent heart damage.
Yep.
Permanent. That means that we don't know what percentage are going to be disabled by this as they get older, are going to develop heart failure, or are going to need cardiac transplants, some of them.
Oh my God.
It's breathtaking, this study, and why it wasn't a big headline. I've sort of sent it around a little bit because I don't understand why people aren't reacting to it.
Wait a second, Doc. You don't know why it wasn't headline news? Who does he think controls the headlines? It's Big Pharma. Drug companies are the single largest advertisers, period. Bigger than car companies, banks, food, cosmetics, anything. Pharma is king, and without them, the mainstream media goes tits up.
That means that we don't know what percentage are going to be disabled by this as they get older, are going to develop heart failure, or are going to need cardiac transplants, some of them.
Oh my God.
It's breathtaking.
You hear that, you Pfizer fucks? There's your next revenue growth opportunity. Drugs that ameliorate organ transplant rejection. Sounds like a slam dunk. Fuck people up, then sell them some shit to fix them.
In a 27-year-old male, the illness is a nothing. So the vaccine is all risk.
Right.
Why the push? Why are we pushing? And I think, put your legal head on for a second, that universities are going to be in big trouble for having mandated young people to get that vaccine. Because people are going to get sick, and they're going to have long-term consequences, and they should sue those schools for having forced them to take a medical intervention.
100%, they should sue.
Well, that sounds fun. Hopefully, there are armies of attorneys cooking up class action suits that will destroy academia. That would be a good thing. Harvard has an endowment of over $50 billion, the richest school in the world. That's more cash on hand than damn near every corporation has. At the same time, it's a woke sewer, ranked lowest of any college in free speech. Wouldn't it be great to see some of those PhD department heads tying green Starbucks aprons over their elbow-patched tweed jackets? Maybe turn the whole campus into housing for some of Biden's beloved asylum seekers. That's a plan the faculty should endorse.
And if anybody tries to force you from this point forward, get a fake card. It's not that hard. Go ahead, Google it. Get a fake card.
No, Megan. Fuck fake cards. We did that last time. That's playing by their rules. How about some pitchfork and torch parties? That's how they went after Frankenstein, and aren't vax Nazis monsters too? How about some fucking guillotines on wheels and heads rolling through the gutters like bowling balls? Now that would be a statement of non-compliance.
Get a fake one. Just Google it on the internet. It's bullshit. If they're going to create these bullshit rules, you can create your bullshit way around them. It's all just like a theater. So let's act. I'll act like I've gotten my 50th booster, and you can act like you're satisfied I'm telling you the truth.
No, Megan, acting is a form of cowardly resistance. It's time to get confrontational. And while they're suing schools, why not go after corporations? Gut them like fish. Let's see corporate jets selling on eBay for the price of an 09 Mercury Tracer. Remember all those loudmouth CEOs mandating the vax for their employees and customers? Like this guy, Danny Meyer, founder of Shake Shack. Here he is on CNBC a couple years back.
Yeah, we're following the lead of both city, state, and federal government, and we're going to do this ourselves in our restaurants in New York City and in Washington, D.C., our full-service restaurants, to require that all staff members be vaccinated and also to require that guests who want to dine indoors in our restaurants show proof that they've been vaccinated.
Yeah, there's some classic bullshit corporate speak. He calls his customers guests. If I invite you to dinner at my house, you're my guest. If I hand you a bill for the food, you're a customer.
We know right now that the vaccine works, and it's time to make sure that this economy continues to move forward.
No, Danny, you did not know that the vaccine works. Turns out it didn't do shit. It didn't stop transmission or infection, but it sure has fucked up a lot of healthy people, as Dr. Drew just said.
We've been truly encouraging people. And I want to be really clear. The vast majority of our employees at Union Square Hospitality Group have answered the call and are vaccinated. So we're not talking about a very large population. But for those who didn't feel that the carrot was enough when we offered eight hours of pay per shot.
Whoa, that was some carrot, Danny boy. Let's see now, 8 hours of pay. That's 15 times 8 hours, carry the four. Whoa, holy shit, $120 and a fucked up damaged heart? Where do I sign, Danny?
But one of the things you hear back is, no, my lawyers say that we're going to get sued either by employees who don't want to be vaccinated, we're going to get sued by an employee who, you know, may have a problem with the vaccine.
This is the most logical thing I've ever seen.
Most logical thing he's ever seen? He needs to get out more.
I'm not a scientist, but I know how to read data. And what I see is that this is a crisis of people who have not been vaccinated.
Maybe Danny's not so good at data. Maybe he should stick to flipping burgers. Turns out a lot of those scientists weren't very good at science either. Betcha Danny would love to walk back all that dumb shit he said. But it's too late now. Can't wait for the lawsuits to begin. The defense attorneys will just push the blame upstream. And unfortunately, those at the top of the mountain of lies are indemnified. The shitbag politicians and Big Pharma. The Nuremberg defense, huh?
I was just obeying orders. We were just following the science.
This all circles back to where we started, with that constantly decreasing asset. Some healthy young dudes and dudettes are hearing that clock of mortality ticking decades sooner and more loudly than it should. It'd be great if the clock was drowned out by this sound. Oui, that is the sound of the guillotine, mon ami. Ha 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 ha. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Hop over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. While you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. Leave a 5-star review wherever you download. Helps the show grow. Tell your friends about it and then send them a link. Every time someone has asked me the name of my show and I've answered That Larry Show, they've said, oh, The Larry Show. So links matter. They really do. While you're visiting the homepage, click the PayPal or Patreon button and make a pledge. Or use the post office box. It works just fine. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I love reading your emails. Follow the show on Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. Now, a while back, Twitter canceled my account, so I'm trying to rebuild a presence there. The new handle is To That Larry Show, and the two is the digit, not the word. And now it's time for me to say, see you next time. And once again, I've delivered the show almost 2 days late. A big reason is my new location. Fall is galloping toward winter here, and there's a lot I need to do before the weather turns nasty. That was never a problem in LA, but I'm not complaining. Weather was about the only good thing left in Los Angeles. I'll do my best to get the next episode finished by Wednesday, and until that time, take no shit.